Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is a Wednesday, August 30th. And on today's show, I will not talk about Jonathan Taylor, only for the information to be stale 2 hours after I release the podcast. We do at least have now some knowledge of what Jonathan Taylor is going to be for the next 4 weeks, maybe more. So I will get into that, how I am handling everything in the Colts backfield. Also wanted to talk a little bit about roster cutdowns. There were some interesting ones, nothing too significant, but a few interesting roster cuts that we'll get into on the show today. Also want to talk about one mistake that I'm seeing a lot of people make when it comes to executing the draft strategy I talked about on this very podcast. One major mistake that I think really completely derails the entire strategy. So we'll get into that on the show today as well. Appreciate everybody reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. Remember, we do have this contest going on. If you review the show on Apple Podcasts, rate it, and in your review, you leave your Twitter handle, you are entered in to win a year of FTN Fantasy Plus. It's a $100 value right there. And, well, I mean, it's a gift that keeps giving all year round. If you want to get it, you can sign up, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. But you are entered in to win. We'll pick another winner on Monday if you review the show and you leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram handle in the review and, of course, rate the show. Appreciate everybody who's done it so far. 290 ratings as of right now. My goal is still 1,000, man. I'll set that bar high. So we still have a long way to go, but appreciate everybody who's helped out on that front. Also, quick shout out to our sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is registering right now. And if you want to get in, well, don't wait around because you only have until September 9th. We're closing in. That's like, what, a week and a half away? 2 o'clock on September 9th, registration closes. You can enter up to 5 times in this contest for $1,000 each entry. It is 5 NFL picks against the spread each week of the season. Your choice of games. Really, really challenging contest, but the rewards are there. If you win this thing, it's $1 million. There are payouts for the top 100. There are payouts quarterly as well. And if you really suck, which could happen as well, you get $100,000 for last place, $50,000 for second to last place. Register at Circa or any of the sister properties in Las Vegas. You can also use a proxy service if you are out of state. Let's get into the Jonathan Taylor stuff. Okay, so the 4 o'clock deadline came and went, and now we kind of understand why they put the deadline in place, because it was pretty apparent that Taylor was not going to come off PUP for the Colts. He may have if he had been traded, but he wasn't coming off of PUP for the Colts, which means that since he was not taken off the active PUP list, he immediately went to the reserve PUP list, which now means that he will miss at least the first 4 weeks of the season. This becomes a lot more challenging. Like, he could still be traded, mind you. Like, if he was traded tomorrow, he'd still be on the PUP wherever he's traded, but we don't know what's going to happen on that front. However, for Taylor, I mean, really, ideally, he kind of has to play at some point this season, because there is the possibility, based on the collective bargaining agreement, that the contract could be told to next year, which is another way of saying that the $4.3 million contract that he is owed for this year, that could just go to next year, and he'd still be on the Colts, and we'd still have the same problems. And so there's a lot of moving pieces here. As of right now, he gets his game checks for the first 4 weeks. We shall see what happens from there. But the rumor mills are all over the place. First and foremost, we knew the Dolphins were in the mix. The Colts apparently, and this is a report, but I don't know exactly, you know, hey, we never know how true anything is unless you hear it from the teams themselves. But apparently the Colts were asking for Jaylen Waddle in return for Jonathan Taylor, which to me is just, that's like one of those fantasy trades. Like we all have those guys in our leagues that you try and get a deal done with them, and they just ask for the world. So maybe Chris Ballard's that guy, the general manager of the Colts. But yeah, nice try. Not going to happen. I think they could have gotten some picks for sure. And honestly, if I'm the Colts, if I'm Chris Ballard here right now, and I realize like Taylor's heels are dug in, you know, how much are they dug in? Like, would Taylor actually sacrifice this entire year? Sacrifice the money? Is he that far gone? If that's the case, I'm taking what I can get for this dude. Because it doesn't seem like it's going to end well for the Colts. So I would take what I could get. And I do think you could get close to what you were looking for in terms of pick compensation. Maybe not that mid-range first round, but I think you could get equivalent value of a back-end first round pick. I do. It doesn't take that much to get there based on the point system. So that could be a distinct possibility there. But he is not joining the Miami Dolphins, at least right now. Again, I don't want to close that door until we get to the NFL trade deadline. So how am I handling Jonathan Taylor? Well, I moved him down, way down. He's at 35 in rankings right now, and guess what? I'm not even drafting him there. I want nothing to do with him. I have to rank him somewhere. I settled on that. Honestly, if I took him off of my draft boards, I know that our customer service at FTNFantasy.com would get a million emails of like, yo, where's Jonathan Taylor? So he's at 35. I am not willing to draft him. I'm not. Same advice as always. Like, he's not there. He's on PUP. This is basically a hold-in. I don't want to draft him. And the reason for it, Le'Veon Jet Ski Bell. That's it. That's the reason. So I'm not willing to do that. I was fooled once. I'm not going to be fooled again. Now, of course, there's a tendency among a lot of fantasy players, like the super active fantasy players, that to, whenever there is something happening, to immediately react and find whatever they have to do in relation to what is happening. So in this case, Jonathan Taylor going to PUP, that's what's happening. Okay, so who do I pick up? Who do I pick up out of the Colts backfield? And, you know, I had somebody ask me, like, would you drop Jaylen Warren or Kenneth Gainwell for whoever in the Colts backfield? No! No. Not for Zach Moss. Not for Deion Jackson. Not for Evan Hull. No! Right now, I move Zach Moss up to the 14th round on my board. He has a 14th round grade. I don't want anything to do with Zach Moss, with Deion Jackson, with Evan Hull, because I don't even know if this is solidified. Like, could they bring in somebody like Kareem Hunt? And by the way, if it was Kareem Hunt, no! I want nothing to do with Kareem Hunt. This is a steaming pile of dog turds, and I don't want a steaming pile of dog turds anywhere near my anywhere near me or anything, but especially my fantasy rosters. I want nothing to do with it. That's my take. Now, I'm not saying you should do it. Don't get angry at me. But I'm telling you, I am not willing to touch this roster. That backfield, I should say. Because I'm still, it doesn't move the needle for me at all in Anthony Richardson. I'm still right where I am on him, quarterback 11. I still like Michael Pittman as a nice little value. Alec Pierce is a late round dart. Right now, by the way, they cut Isaiah McKenzie as well. So they have three wide receivers on their roster. I have no idea what's going on there, but I am at least confident in the ceiling of Anthony Richardson and the two wideouts as well. And maybe Josh Downs as well if your league is deeper. But that's the fallout. I want nothing to do with Jonathan Taylor. I am not going out and dropping somebody like Jaylen Warren, especially Jaylen Warren or Kenneth Gainwell. We don't know what Kenneth Gainwell is going to be in that backfield. Could be pretty. He could be the lead back. Based on the beat writers say, like, he's there. It's him and DeAndre Swift right now. So I want nothing to do with it. So that is my take on Jonathan Taylor. Really quickly here, want to run through some of the cuts. Like, obviously, that was a little bit puzzling that they left themselves with three wide receivers. There are a couple teams out there who are thin. Like, the Eagles currently have four wide receivers on the roster. One would expect them to be making some moves. But maybe the most puzzling was the New England Patriots going and not, they did two very puzzling things. First thing, they cut both their backup quarterbacks, all three, because they cut Trace McSorley a couple of days ago. But then they cut Bailey Zappe, they cut Malik Cunningham, Those guys actually cleared waivers, so they're both on the practice squad now. So they have one active quarterback, Mac Jones, which is pretty unconventional. And then they cut their entire backfield with the exception of Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think I've ever quite seen anything close to that. Now, granted, I don't, you know, maybe go back a little bit further in my days in the industry here, and I didn't pay as much attention as I do now, but still, it's a really odd move. I mean, if anything, the Bailey Zappe thing goes to show you that fantasy folks don't often have a good grasp on reality. Their perceptions, because of a couple good fantasy performances, mask what may really be happening. And I pointed this out in the game plan draft guide over at ftnfantasy.com, that the metric numbers for Mac Jones were better than Bailey Zappe last year. Like, he is a better quarterback, and it actually, the analytics show it. It's just Bailey Zappe was this sort of cult hero for a couple games. And, you know, here we go. I'm not surprised that Mac Jones is well ahead of him. It was surprising Bailey Zappe was cut. That's definitely an odd move. And then the backfield entirely being cut as well. They have to have at least one more. Like, I don't know, you know, will it be J.J. Taylor coming back around, Kevin Harris coming back around? I'm not quite sure, but it does seem odd. A couple other cuts to get to. Not even a cut, but Hassan Haskins is now on commissioner's exempt for the Titans. That's bad. That means he can't even come into team facilities. He was initially placed on injured reserve. I would expect a lengthy suspension once his legal process wraps up, and then we may never see Hassan Haskins again on an NFL roster. The emergency third quarterback rule, only 13 teams kept three quarterbacks on their roster, their initial 53-man. Dolphins, Steelers, Colts, Texans, Titans, Raiders, Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings, Falcons, Panthers, Saints, and 49ers. It'd be a little weird if the 49ers didn't do it, but obviously the Patriots were the only team with one quarterback on their roster. There's one team with an unsettled quarterback situation, that being the Cardinals. We still have no clue if it's going to be Clayton Tune or Joshua Dobbs in week one, but I don't think it really matters. Melvin Gordon cut from the Ravens. That's not a huge surprise, though they did keep a UDFA ahead of him. They kept four running backs on their roster. Oh, the Browns. They moved on from Demetric Felton. That one was really important for me because it explains why Pierre Strong. Like, he's just an upgrade on Demetric Felton. Pierre Strong is not the handcuff to Nick Chubb. That's Jerome Ford. This was simply upgrading Demetric Felton. Denerick Prince waived from the Chiefs. A little bit of a surprise there, but they just have Pacheco, CEH, and Jerick McKinnon on the roster. I don't think this is the last we've seen of Denerick Prince, but, you know, for now, not on the active roster. Miles Gaskin released from the Dolphins, quickly signed with the Vikings. So have an opportunity down on that depth chart. Maybe he's three, maybe he's four to start things out on that depth chart. Let's see. The Bears moved on from Nathan Peterman. Okay, whoopity-doo. But Tyson Bagent is the backup potentially right now. Cowboys moved on from Malik Davis. So I'd been saying for weeks it was Rico Dowdle as the handcuff to Tony Pollard. So there you go. Yeah, those are some of the big ones. Really quickly, so a mistake that I'm seeing people make. I'm seeing people prioritizing middle-round quarterback and not prioritizing that wheelhouse, like, middle-round tight end. And the end result is people are drafting, like, Chigakonkwo and you know, upside guys like that in the late round. And those tight ends are very, very, very risky. And I have seen this before. You know, I sometimes forget of some of these tendencies and patterns that play out at this time of year. But here's what invariably happens. We'll get into the season. We'll get a couple weeks into the season. That tight end is going to crap the bed. They're going to be a 3-for-32 tight end. And if they score a touchdown, that's great. But for the most part, 3-for-32 tight ends don't perform up to expectation. So the manager then says, I need a tight end. I'm light at tight end. I need a tight end. And they will go and they'll trade one of the wideouts they drafted in the early rounds for a tight end, thus shooting themselves in the foot and ruining the strategy that they executed in the early rounds. So how we avoid that is we don't prioritize. We don't go and get Joe Burrow in the sixth round or Justin Fields in the seventh round or Justin Herbert. I understand that that's maybe reasonable value. It actually isn't value. I'd need these guys in the eighth round. But even then, I don't want to get them because I'm not fixated on quarterback. I want to make sure I land that wheelhouse tight end, whether it's Darren Waller, TJ Hockenson, George Kittle, heck, even Kyle Pitts or Dallas Goedert. So I'm not light at that position. Then guess what? When you get to the late rounds, there still will be quarterbacks there. And the safe and upside strategy is designed to give you a shot at vastly exceeding ADP if you nail that upside guy. Could it be Tua? Maybe. Anthony Richardson, if he's there? Possibly. Guys like that could potentially outplay their ADP. The safe guy probably won't, but they're there in case you swing for the fences and you miss. And then you go after it on waivers. That's the purpose of this strategy. And this year, the pendulum has really swung back to quarterbacks, and I'm seeing this mistake made a bunch. Now, again, my approach isn't infallible. I am far from infallible, and maybe I end up being wrong on this one, but I've seen this thing before. I've seen it happen before, and I've seen what people do. They freak out over tight end, and the way to avoid that is to get yourself a wheelhouse tight end, prioritize tight ends in those middle rounds, not quarterbacks. If you still have drafts to go, hopefully that helps you out. All right, so that's going to do it for us today. We're going to check in with the latest from around the NFL tomorrow, polish up this the draft strategy talk for two more episodes, and then we're going to shift gears next week when we come back. Week one officially here. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, follow along with me there. And of course, enter in that contest by reviewing this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Rate it and leave your Twitter handle in the review. You will be officially entered in. We'll give another one of those out next week. That'll be the last one. So get those entries in now. All right. Okay. I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I am out.